Well, Pastor Larry, why don't you come on up and we'll have the congregation extend their hands to pray for you. Let's pray for Pastor Larry. Father, we thank you for this man of God that has such a servant heart to serve you in the kingdom in Strongsburg, Nebraska, Living Word Church. Lord, we thank you for the word that you put in his heart and his spirit today, Lord. We pray, God, that you would anoint it and bless it, cause it to come forth and bless our hearts with that word. And Lord, we'll be better off because of it. And for that, we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.
I could possibly need that. Well, we're going to play some games today. But I got to get the word out here. How many of you have ever played that game where somebody says a word and you're supposed to say the first word that comes to your mind? Yeah, I think about everybody probably has. All right, let's play a little bit of that. Cold. Okay. Black. Okay. Any others? Yeah, just everybody, just shout them out here. Sky. Clouds. Blue. Barbecue. Is that what you said? Oh, Sky Harbor. Okay. Feather. What? Birds. Okay. Anybody else? I got one more. Heaven. Heavenlies. What? Wonderful place. Glorious. Everybody should have something for this one, right? Oh. Well, I don't know whether it's because of my age or what, but, you know, heaven's on my mind quite a bit here lately. And before we kind of get started with this, I'm going to ask Mary to hand these over to Mike. That's fine. Somebody hand them out. And while they're doing that, let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you are the God. You are the Creator. You're the beginning and the end. And Father, without you, that we are nothing. And Father, we just thank you that you sent your Son. And Father, we just want to give you praise. But Father, we just want you to open up the scriptures to us today and help us to get something out of what you have brought. We want to give you all glory and all praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I think probably about every one of us has asked some of these questions. Is heaven a real place? What is heaven like? What is heaven? Where is heaven? How big is heaven? What will we do in heaven? What will we not do in heaven? What is in heaven? What is not in heaven? Who is in heaven? Will we recognize people in heaven? Are there animals in heaven? Well, as I was doing my research, heaven is one big topic. There's almost 600 references. Depend upon your translation. And so basically, you guys are going to get a snack where I got to feast, you know, because I got to do all the digging and everything, and I can only give you just kind of a tidbit of that. But did you know that the Bible references basically three heavens? The first heaven is in Genesis 1, 7 and 8, if you want to put that up. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. This is referred to the first heaven, basically the atmosphere, the sky, what we naturally kind of see around us. And then the second heaven, which is the universe of planets and stars and all the galaxies and the Milky Way and all that kind of stuff. And Psalm 8:3 says this, I look at the heavens, which you made with your hands. I see the moon and stars, which you created. And then we got the third heaven, which is God's dwelling place. In Psalm 103, verse 19, it says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven. And his kingdom rules over all. That is such a beautiful verse. Well, I'm going to kind of just focus on the third heaven, the place that where God dwells. Well, we know that heaven is a real place because in John 14, 2 and 3, Jesus tells us that there are many rooms in my Father's house. I would not tell you this if it were not true. I am going there to prepare a place for you. After I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. Just like in our video this morning, Jesus is coming back. Then I will take you to be with me, so that you may be where I am. And Jesus is in heaven. And then, of course, in Jesus, in Luke 23:43, he says, tells the criminal, he says, today you will be with me in paradise. And, you know, you look at that word paradise, it actually means park. And, you stop and think about some of the parks that you've been into and all the different wonders around the world, how gorgeous that some of those are. And, you know, the definition of paradise is a place of everlasting happiness, delight, and bliss. We're not going just to heaven. We're going to paradise. Well, most of the information that I found about heaven is, well, I don't know about most of it, but what I was drawn to was Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22. And unfortunately, we're going to probably go through most of the verses. So it might take just a little while, but, you know, gotta love the scripture. In Revelation 21 and verse 1, it says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and the sea was no more. I never really thought about the fact that the sea was no more. And doing a little study on that, the sea in the Old Testament was reference of or a symbol of chaos. So there's not going to be any chaos. There's not going to be any sin in heaven. Wow, you know, that's pretty cool. That's just the first verse. And then Isaiah kind of parallels this. It says, Isaiah 65:17, it says, look, I will make new heavens and a new earth. I like this part here. And people will not remember the past. They will not think about those things. So when we get to heaven, the past is not going to be there. Yeah, I thought that was pretty awesome. And then if you look at verse 2, it says, I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. And you think about, not all weddings are like this anymore, but you used to think about, when you thought about the bride, how gorgeous they were, how adorned they were. And I thought, wow, what an illustration that. That's what New Jerusalem is going to be. It's like a bride prepared for her groom. Well, verse 3, it says, then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. Dwell. I didn't look that word up, but, you know, dwell, you live with somebody. Sometimes that can be good, and sometimes it can be kind of hard. But in this case, we're going to be dwelling with God. To me, that is just so awesome that we're going to be dwelling with God. Verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away. There's a whole bunch of things that are not going to be in heaven. It's kind of hard to imagine, you know. There's not going to be any heartache. There's not going to be any sadness. there's not going to be any sorrow. We can't imagine life here on earth without those things. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get to heaven? There's not going to be these things. There is no more sin. It's all gone. God will be our comforter. Verse 5. Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new. I am making everything new." He also said, "Write, because these words are faithful and true." I don't know about you, but we all like brand new things. Not used new things, but brand new things. A new car smell. You know, the fresh earth when it's turned up, that newness. Ah, everything in heaven's going to be new. There's nothing going to be worn out. It's all going to be brand new. That's kind of uncomprehensible thinking about how everything is going to be new. Of course, you can't talk about heaven without not talking about the new Jerusalem. Revelation 21, verses 10 through 14, it says, "The angel carried me away by the Spirit to a very large and high mountain. He showed me," there's going to be mountains in heaven. "He showed me the holy city, Jerusalem. It was coming down out of heaven from God. It was shining in the glory of God. It was shining bright like a very expensive jewel, like a jasper. It was clear as crystal. The city had a great wall with 12 gates. There were 12 angels at the gates. On each gate was written the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. There are 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The walls of were built on 12 foundation stones. On the stones were written the names of 12 apostles of the Lamb." I can't begin to visualize what that must look like. You know, I can visualize a diamond. You know, I've seen diamonds. But to visualize some of these other stones, what that must look like. The magnificence of that. And I found some pictures and I thought, I don't think they do it justice. You know, it's just unremarkable to me. Well, let's look at 15 and 16. I kind of had a little fun with this one. It says, "The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod made of gold. He had this rod to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city was built in a square. Its length was equal to its width. The angel measured the city with a rod. The city was 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high." That's basically from Stroudsburg to Oregon, or Stroudsburg to Boston. That's about 1,500 miles. It takes about 22 hours of nonstop driving to go 1,500 miles. That's pretty big. And so I did a little math here. So some of you math students here, maybe you can help me out. How do you figure out square miles? What? Don't we have any math kids? I know better than that. Okay, width by length. Okay, so we would have to multiply what? By what? 1,500 by 1,500, remember me. Well, anybody want to do that real quick in their head? Okay. It is 2,250,000 square miles. We can all imagine a section which is a square mile. But 2 million square miles? Well, you know, not only is this a square, but it's also a cube. Well, the height would be about 780,000 stories high. That's one big skyscraper. That is a skyscraper. Well, okay, we figured out what square miles would be. Well, what would cubic miles be? What would we do there? Rebecca, what would we do? Fine. And there's one more. There's three things when you figure out a cube. Width. I'm not quite here for what you said, but right. Right, you got your square miles there, and you got one more element that you got to add into it. The height, right? Yeah, height, width, and length. So we got 1,500 times 1,500 times 1,500. Anybody want to take a guess at what that would be? I think you said something. Yeah, it'd be billions. How about 3,375,000,000 miles, square miles, cubic miles, or 3.375 cubic miles. You know how big Jerusalem is today, currently? It's 7 by 7, or 49 square miles. Huh? Compare that to the square miles of 2.2 million. Huh? That's just kind of something else. And then I thought, well, just for fun, I kind of did a thing about people. You know, kind of did a, you know, little cubic foot thing of people. Well, this is probably not anywhere close, but I figured about 54 square feet. You know, each person occupies about 54 cubic feet, I should say. Cubic feet. Well, do you know how that, what? I did cubic feet. Yeah, 54 cubic feet. I did 3 by 3 by 6. Anyway, at least that's what my mouth was. Now, what do you think that would be as a part of the New Jerusalem? It blew my mind. It's 3.66 to the negative 10th power. So maybe we're looking at maybe a dust particle. I think we could pack a few people into the New Jerusalem. And that's just the New Jerusalem. Then we got the New Earth besides the New Jerusalem. I think heaven's going to be adequate to hold everybody. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's go on. Looking at Revelation 21:17-21, the angel also measured the wall. It was 260 feet high by man's measurement. That was the measurement the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper. The city was made of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundation stones of the city walls had every kind of jewel in them. The first cornerstone was jasper. The second was sapphire. The third was chalcedony, the fourth was emerald, the fifth was onyx, the sixth was carnelian, the seventh was chrysolite, the eighth was beryl, and the ninth was topaz, the tenth was chrysoprase, the 11th was jacinth, and the 12th was amethyst. Some of those I've heard of, a lot of them I haven't heard of. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each gate was made from a single pearl, one pearl. The streets of city was made of pure gold. The gold was clear as glass. That's pure gold when it is clear as glass. Again, I just think about the grandeur of this. Just thinking about the stones being the foundation stones. And the pearls. I'm thinking, I don't know how big the gates are. Don't say how big they are. But one single pearl is a gate? Yeah, most gates we kind of think of, we'll say a garage door 10 by 10. You know? Gates could be a whole lot bigger than that in a castle. That's one big, big pearl. Verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city. The Lord God, all-powerful, and Lamb of the city's temple. The temple is what? A place of worship. Here's one of the things that heaven will not have. Heaven will not have a temple. We will not be worshiping at a temple. But let's read the rest of that. The Lord God all-powerful and the Lamb are the city's temple. No temple. God and Jesus will be the temple. Verses 23 and 24. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. The glory of God is its light, and the Lamb is the city's lamp. By its light, and the people of the world will walk. The kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. I don't know about you, but that sounds kind of odd. No sun, no moon. We won't need it. You know? And then you think about it. We kind of talked a little bit about how big the new earth is going to be. It's going to be gigantic. And the light is going to permeate every corner. There's not going to be a nook or a cranny that God's light is not going to shine into. Everywhere you go, you will be in the light. There will be no darkness, none whatsoever. Going on, verses 25 through 27, the city's gates will never be shut on any day. Nothing to shut out. You know, nothing to keep away, to keep out, because there's no night there. The greatness and the honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing unclean will ever enter the city. No one who does shameful things or tells lies will ever go into it. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will enter into the city. Again, no sin. Nothing. Nothing bad. But that only the names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So like in our video, you better be ready. No night, no sin. Okay. Skipping on into Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5, it says, there's so much stuff in there that I couldn't even begin to unpack at all. It says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. The river was shining like crystal. It flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the street of the city. The tree of life was on each side of the river. It produces fruit 12 times a year, once each month. So again, we can see that there's going to be water is going to be in heaven. And it's going to flow. It's going to be and the tree of life is going to be in heaven. And it produces fruit 12 times a year. That will be there. The leaves of the tree are for healing of all people. Nothing that God judges guilty will be in that city. Nothing that God judges guilty is going to be in that city. There's going to be no bad things. The throne of the God and of the Lamb will be there. And God's servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be written on their foreheads. There will never be night again. No night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun. The Lord will give them light, and they will rule like kings forever and ever. Again, I can't imagine, I can't picture that, you know, the waterfalls or whatever, you know, you've ever seen wouldn't even begin to compare to something like this. But the thing I kind of really wanted to point out in this little passage is that God's servants. Well, you know, some people say, well, what are you going to do in heaven? Heaven could be kind of boring. We're going to be serving. I don't know what we're going to be serving. God's servants will be worshiping Him. There was no way that I could cover all this material. I hope I kind of whetted your appetite a little bit to kind of get into some of a study of your own. But I'm going to kind of summarize it a little bit here. Heaven is a real place. God and Jesus, or the Lamb, will be there. We don't know the extent of what heaven will be like until we really get there. but it will be paradise. We know that there will be no sin, no death, no sorrow, no heartache, no grieving, because nobody's going to die, no crying, and no pain. There will be no moon, no sun, but they're not going to be needed. And we also know that heaven will be adequate size. You know, there's going to be a vast multitude there. Revelation 7:9 says, "Then I looked, and there was a great number of people. There were so many people that no one could count them. They were from every nation, tribe, people, and language of the earth." That does not leave anybody out. "They were all standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They wore white robes and had palm branches in their hands." Well, not only do we have all these people, but there's going to be angels there. I don't know how many angels there are. Supposedly each person has an angel. How many people are in the world right now? 1 billion? How many people have passed away? That's a lot of people there. Well, I kind of want to close with this. I want to close with Jesus' words. It was found in Revelation 22. It says, "Listen." And this is Jesus speaking. It says, "Listen, I am coming soon. He who obeys the words of prophecy in this book will be happy." Then skipping down to verse 12, it says, "Listen, I am coming soon." He's repeating it. We better listen up, hadn't we? "I will bring rewards with me. I will repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Those who wash their robes will be blessed. They will have the right to eat the fruit from the tree of life. They may go through the gates into the city. Outside the city are the evil people, those who do evil magic, who are sexually immoral, who murder, who worship idols, and who love lies and tell lies." Verse 16, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to tell you these things from the churches. I am the descendant from the family of David. I am the bright morning star." Jesus is the one who says these things are true. Now he says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen." Oh, Father, we do. Amen.
Wow. Thank you, Pastor Larry. Well, congregation, let's stand and I know the thing I'm really looking forward to heaven is there'll be no concept of hot or cold. It'll just be ambient. You know, I was thinking as you were talking about light, like, okay, so we're surrounded right now by molecules, right? Molecules of hydrogen and oxygen. That's why we're going to be surrounded by little molecules of light. It's just all light. No shadow. There's light everywhere. So, Father, I just pray, as Pastor Larry has really opened up our hearts to the concept of what heaven is really like, we pray, God, that you continue to add to that, Lord, of what he has started. And, God, that we would become more aware of where we're headed and what a blessing that is. So thank you for that revelation in Revelation, Father. So receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' precious name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Go and serve the Lord. Have a great week.